Happy New Year and welcome to another Tasmanian Tall Tales and True Show. Week I'm going to talk to you about Christmas. I know you're probably over Christmas, well and truly. Maybe you're not. Maybe you've had a great Christmas. Maybe not so fantastic. I hope you had a good one and a good New Year. But I just want to talk to you about some differences between Christmas in Bexhill and Christmas in Tasmania. Yeah, might have a bit of a laugh about that, but anyway, we might start with a song. So I thought I'd entertain you with this song by Robbie Williams. Have a listen. Bit of a show off, isn't he? He's a real show pony, and he doesn't mind he doesn't mind being a bit of a performer. I suppose that's all part of the act, isn't it? He's actually here in Australia at the moment. He's just finished a biopic, and apparently it's going to be a massive thing. He entertained pretty much Australia on New Year's Eve with a fantastic show down on Sydney Harbour with the fireworks and that, and sang all his oldies, including that one. Yeah, he's definitely entertaining, I've got to say that. Anyway, back to Christmas. So, of course, being on the almost exact opposite end of the globe to Bexhill, close enough, anyway, doesn't matter. because you're in the Northern Hemisphere and we're in the Southern Hemisphere, well, obviously your Christmas occurs in winter. So, you know, December 25, you're in the guts of winter, whereas we're in the guts of summer. And obviously it's completely different. When I was a kid, and I think you'll find it's most Australians and even Tasmanians to a degree, are often envious of the, you know, the white Christmas that you see on the movies and you hear about in the songs, you know, white Christmas and all that business. Here, it just doesn't happen. Although I do recall in 1973, you may think back that far, you might not be old enough. But we did have a sprinkling of snow on Mount Wellington in 1973, and that was, they called that a white Christmas, but it wasn't really. It was just a bit of snow on the top of the mountain. It wasn't much use, but I suppose we did have a white Christmas. Over here, it's normally, it ranges from warm to hot. Most times, nine times out of ten, I suppose, it's always hot and sticky. On the mainland, it's unbearable. It's low to mid 30s sometimes all over the place, and here we're sort of mid to late 20s, which is a lot more bearable. But you know, we don't have the snow, but you know what is really strange about it, despite the fact that it's it's a pretty bloody warm, a lot of people still have the traditional English style, you know, baked dinner, roast dinner, with your roast turkey and your ham and your plum pudding and custard and all that sort of stuff. Although we have we often have the pavlova, which is like, apparently it's an Australian dish, and I won't go into that. There's a bit of an argument about that between Australia and New Zealand. It's a bit silly, but anyway, yeah. So we have a totally different setup. So often we have barbecues. I'm not sure how many barbecues you'd have in Bexhill in December, but maybe you'd probably have them down there on the beach or something. But here it's a staple, the barbie, the chuck a prawn on the barbie and all that business. It sounds like a cliche, I know, but it's actually, believe it or not, it's actually true. You know, seafood is a huge thing, you know. Most people, often those that can afford it, to be honest, have a bit of a seafood extravaganza, me included. And that's lobster, scallops, prawns, all sorts of fish. You know, I suppose, in Tasmania we're blessed with having so many types of quality fish. It's not funny, so we're a bit spoilt. And the average Tasmanian knows his fish from his rubbish. But anyway, I suppose we'd have another song, eh? This might get your toe tapping. Oh, What a Night by the Four Seasons. Thank you. so I'm trying not to be too self-obsessed, but happens to be the year I was born in. That's probably what he wrote about, to be honest.
Is your conservatory too hot in summer or too cold in winter? Then get free, no obligation advice from Roofex. Whether it's for lightweight tiles, insulated panels and ceilings, or cork spray, Roofex offers a number of affordable solutions to vastly improve the comfort of your existing conservatory. For award-winning service, go to roofex.uk for more information or call 0800 00 33 55. That's 0800 00 33 55.
Listen to Bexhill's Brighter Brunch with me, Lynn Watts. News, views, lots of tips and a little bit of music thrown in. Monday to Friday at midday, only here on Bexhill Radio.
You are listening to Bexhill Radio, the free phenomenon of online broadcasting straight to your phone, laptop or any other device with an internet connection. Pre-recorded shows, live shows and special interest shows, broadcasting 7 days a week from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. Be part of the phenomenon. Bexhill Radio. Bexhillradio.com.
Don't forget to listen to Remember This with Charlie Watts for an hour every weekday evening from 5 p.m. Just remember that just one song can trigger 1,000 memories, and you never know what you might hear. Only on Bexhill Radio.
Call James for a no-obligation quote at JJM Fencing and Landscaping for all your landscaping needs, fencing repairs or replacements in Bexhill. Check out My Next Door Reviews. Call 07491 707 019. The Catch Fish Bar. The finest fish and chips in Hastings. 211A Bexhill Road, Bexhill. Telephone 01424 424 749.
Anyway, one of the things that happens in Australia in over the Christmas period is the Boxing Day Test. The Boxing Day Test cricket match. This year it's Australia versus India, and it gets the whole country, the country practically stops to watch the cricket. It's probably the same over your side of the world. Here we're cricket mad, and if we're not, tackling the Poms, which we love to hate the Poms, but we actually love them anyway. But yeah, we love to hate them in sport, and but equally so with the Indians, because there's a bit of a love-hate relationship goes on with the Indians too, to be honest. It stops the country, and this year it's going to be bigger than ever with these Bumrah and the Indian bowler versus the Australian, fast bowling, fast-paced attack. And it's almost like they've got one bowler and we've got six or seven, like world-class, bowlers. And that they're not so blessed. But I'll tell you what, that Bumrah, if you ever get a chance to watch him bowl, he's a freak. Anyway, so apart from the Test match, which I said stops the country, another event takes place on Boxing Day, which is the Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race. It is a another thing that stops everybody at 1 o'clock on the Boxing Day afternoon. Everybody stops watching the cricket for about an hour to watch the start of the Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race. It's a 628 nautical mile race across from Sydney up on the mainland, across Bass Strait down to Hobart in southern Tasmania. And if you didn't know already, it can be one of the roughest stretches of water on the planet. And there have been, a lot of deaths, I've got to say, in it. If you think about it, like in 1998, they lost about four sailors tragically because they ran into a storm. The Weather Bureau predicted a gale, but the next step up from a gale is a storm, and these poor souls were lost. Many boats were lost. This year, unfortunately, we lost another two people hit on the head by swinging booms on two different boats. which you know, casts a real shadow on the event, to be honest, but can't do much about it. But many years ago I was asked if I wanted to be on the crew, you know, in a Sydney to Hobart, and I thought about it, I really did, but I was just a bit busy with my diving business and that. I said no, but that year, of course, it was beautiful, magnificent weather, apparently, all the way down from Sydney to Hobart with these lovely northeasterly breezes with their spinnakers up, and yeah, they had a fat time, and that'd be right. If I'd have gone, there'd have been that bloody storm, or at least a gale. Put money on that. Those were the days. What about this one by Marianne Hopkins?
Once upon a time there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours. Think of all the great things we would do.
Live the life we choose. We'd fight and never.
Great song. Always liked that one. Anyway, when the yachts arrive in Hobart, when I was a kid, it would take 3 or 4 days to get here. So usually it was very close to New Year's Eve and after that the winners would arrive, the Maxis, they call them Super Maxis and Maxis, 100 footers basically, which are racing machines that go faster than the wind, which still amazes me. I still can't get my head around how a yacht can go faster than the breeze that's pushing it. But, I never said I was a medal Everest, did I? But when they arrive in Hobart, it's a spectacular sight. And even often they arrive at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning when it's dark. But where I was going with that is that they're here sometimes in under 2 days. So like 1 day, 18 hours roughly is the record. And it's like if you think about it, if you look at that on a map and see how far they come and what they go through, it's quite incredible that they how they can get here that quickly. But, the stragglers, the people with not so wealthy or not owned by a major corporation, which is pretty much what happens. It's not so much the wealthy owners, although you've got to be wealthy to be a yachtsman, to be honest, a professional a yachtsman, because I mean you're not working on a job. You're being a professional yachtsman. Now look, they get paid quite well, but it's not a huge salary. So most of them have got a lot of sailing experience and a lot of money in the bank, so they can afford to indulge in such pleasures. I'd like to have a crack at it perhaps one day before I get too old. I'm probably too old already, but I'd like to have a go at it because the camaraderie and the adventure of it and coming across Bass Strait, I've done that a few times, but you know, but never, not from Sydney. And yeah, I'd love to have a look at it and just feel the vibe and just be part of the excitement of it. Who knows, maybe one of these days. Another interesting thing that happens in my personal case every summer is the War of the Cockatoos. Not the War of the Roses, it's the War of the Cockatoos. Now, if you're not familiar with a cockatoo, we have two types here in Tasmania. We have the black cockatoo and the white cockatoo. The black cockatoo is beautiful, magnificent bird. It's black with the yellow features on its face and under its wings, and absolutely magnificent birds that live up in the mountains. You don't see them often. You normally only see them in winter when it gets that cold up on the mountain that they actually come down, which is quite strange. It's also great to see, and beautiful birds. The cockatoo to which I refer is the white cockatoo. Now, some people find them, you know, lovely animals, and look, they probably are, if they're not eating your walnuts and destroying your walnut tree, which seems to happen with monotonous regularity. For as long as I've been here, which is, you know, it's over 10 years, I've had nothing but trouble with the buggers. Anyway, I better stop you up and have a song. Oh, this is a good one. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper with Shallow. Have a listen to this one, if you will.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall in all the good times. I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times I fear myself.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? hardcore. I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times, I fear myself. I'm of the deep end.
Most of Lady Gaga's stuff, she's pretty talented lass, isn't she, really? Bradley Cooper, he's pretty good too, isn't he? Anyway, so these back to these bloody cockatoos. And, you know, most people think, oh, yeah, you lucky duck, have all these cockatoos come to your house. Really? See, the trouble with them, the buggers, they not only do they eat the walnuts, it's that they destroy the tree, like they vandalize things. They don't actually just eat the walnut. They grab the walnut, rip it to shreds and drop it on the ground. And they rip the leaves off the tree. Now, my walnut tree is basically, it not only does it give me walnuts, which are, you know, very good tucker and very, very good for you, it gives me shade. And it's like an air conditioner at my place. It gets very hot here. Although I'm on the riverbank, it faces north, a bit like you facing south. It faces north, and it gets all day sun, so it gets hot. And so the walnut tree is my salvation. And every time I lose a leaf of it, it's like a barb through my heart. But yeah, no, seriously, it is my air conditioner. And then, of course, it's deciduous. In winter, the leaves disappear and allows the sun into the house. It warms the house up. So she's a valuable asset, and I love it. And anyone who comes here falls in love with this walnut tree. But the cockatoos, and so I've tried everything. I've tried birds of prey, you know, a fake owl. They just laughed at that. I had a fake eagle. They laughed at that. Mackie Boy himself, he used to do a great job of scaring away the cockatoos. He'd bark at them and off they'd go. And that worked for 2 or 3 years, I've got to say. It did, away they went. But because they're so clever, and they are a very clever animal, they learn after a while. They go, hang on a minute, that white, savage-looking big dog with a big bark, he can't fly, can he? And you can hear him talking to each other. No, he can't fly. He can't fly. What are we worried about him for? So, of course, in the end, after 2 or 3 years, they woke up and so Mac would, you know, bark his head off. And they're like, ha ha. They're like, they're thumbing his nose at him and me. Because I'll tell you how clever they are too. They also know when I'm not home. So they know when the car, when I go out in the car or go out in the boat or go for a walk, that bang, in they come. They're phenomenal, and they have these scouts, lookouts. You know, they could be half a mile away, and they're watching the house, and when you're gone, they just swoop, like, and I'm talking dozens of them at once, and they drop the half-eaten walnuts and just damaged walnuts. They drop them on the ground, they land on the car, they land in the dinghies, they land everywhere. You can tread on one and break your neck, you know. They're like treading on marbles. So no fun at all. So do I have an awkward relationship with cockatoos? I would say yes, I do. And, you know, as I said, people think, oh, you're so lucky. And I suppose I am in a way, but I'm very unlucky in another way. I've tried everything, honestly, even nets. But I'll save my secret weapon for a minute. Here's a good one. What's Up by Four Non Blondes. Have a listen.
I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, or whatever that means. Into a crisis of times when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out what's in my head, and I am feeling a little peculiar. So I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on? And I say, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. I say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, I've always liked that one. So, yeah, so back to the cockatoos and my secret weapon. Well, it's not that... it is a secret, but it's not that clever. It's a slug gun or an air rifle. You'd have them over there, of course you would. And they're not technically legal to have without having a license, but I don't worry about that sort of stuff. But so when I was a kid, my father, I was up at my nan and pop's place up at New Norfolk, and we used to shoot the back of a Rinso packet of washing powder. On the back it had this big target, and we used to put potato in the slug gun and shoot the Rinso box, and it went about 20 or 30 feet, and it'd put a hole in the Rinso box or just knock it over, more likely. And we used to have a great time. So we were never encouraged to use guns at all, but this was it was a bit of fun. And that gun was made in the 1940s. So it's it's pretty old now. It's getting 80 years old, isn't it? Over 80 years old, and it still works, and it still works well. So I've worked it out. So I don't know if you've ever used a spud gun, but you just cut off a small sliver of spud and you poke it in the barrel, you cock the gun, and you shoot him, away it goes. It doesn't make much noise. It won't kill anything, but I'll tell you what, it stings these cockatoos. It gives them a right old scare, and whack, and then right up him, and then bang, he's off. And then when he goes, the rest take off, and this great big flock of cockatoos just fly up into the air, and they can be seen halfway across Hobart, and they must wonder what, they must know, people must know that what's going on there. On commercial walnut farms, they're allowed to use a shotgun, not to kill the birds, they're protected, but, just bird scarers. And they go off every half an hour or so. Sometimes that's when they're on automatic, sometimes they're on manual, where they just, do it, fire at will, as they say, poor old Will. But yeah, they do a great job. But so does the spud gun, I've got to say. And I do get a kick out of it, and I get a kick out of people, guests and visitors and that come, and I watch this, because the buggers they're up there. Very quiet. They sneak in so quietly. You don't hear them sneak in. You can't really see them once they get above the walnut tree because it's so thick. And they're white. And on a clear day, the gaps between the leaves, if you can see, it's very, very hard to pick out a white cockatoo against basically a white sky or a light blue sky. But you learn the tricks. But when they grab the walnuts, they often drop them bang like that on the roof of the carport, or as I say, land in the dinghy or land on something, and that gives them away. Other times they'll go like that, and that gives them away too. So I sneak around and bang, and they're off, and it tickles me. I've got to say, it's sort of, and a lot of the time now, because they are that clever. I don't even have to shoot. They just see me and the rifle, and they're off. I do love it. Oh, I love it. I love this too, eh? Watching the Wheels by John Lennon. One of my all-time faves.
People say I'm crazy. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. People say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watch your shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball.
watch them roll. No longer riding on the merry-go-round. I just had to let it go. Questions, lost in confusion. Will I tell them there's no problem, only solutions? Will I shake their heads and they look at me as if I've lost my mind? I tell them there's no hurry, I'm just sitting here doing time. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll. No longer riding on the
Yeah, I would say John Lennon's my favourite Beatle. I mean, they're all pretty good, but yeah, he's probably my favourite.
Beachcombers Hair Salon, 79 Western Road, Bexhill-on-Sea, TM41DT. Telephone 01424 213 881. Professional skills and friendly atmosphere. Follow us on Facebook.
Tune in for The Rock Machine, Saturday at 10, Sunday at midday, with me, Lynn Watts, only here on BexhillRadio.com.
Thinking of selling your home? Call Bexhill Estates, Bexhill's most highly rated estate agent, for your free no-obligation valuation today on 01424 233330.
In need of a plasterer? Watts Plastering provides affordable plastering, building and decorating services. Contact us today for a quote on 07 376 958 170 or email whatsplasteringservices@gmail.com.
So with these cockatoos come other animals. Now, one of the byproducts of these cockatoos, and combined with the fact I live on the waterfront, is the old rattus rattus, the old black rat. And what happens, of course, the walnuts that land on the ground, and I can't be there all the time picking them up, you know, you're just impossible. Well, of course, that brings the rats, doesn't it? So the rats will grab the walnut tree, and then they'll run under the house and eat the walnut, or they'll run underneath the car and up in the car and sit in the engine bay and eat the walnut, you know, and have a munch on whatever else takes their fancy, usually some wiring or some rubber hoses in the car. And so that's another constant battle. That's all thanks to the bloody cockatoos, you see. So they even hurt me financially. So with this explosion of animals, rats as well, I also have an explosion of possums, which is interesting, because you wouldn't think, where I am, you wouldn't think possums would be here, but they're here. And I don't know if you've ever had anything to do with possums, but they're lovely animals, but they're a pest too. They're a pest. Oh my God! And they can make more noise than a bloody, you know, bus full of rugby players. Especially if they get on your roof or in your roof or under your house, particularly in winter, they're just seeking a bit of warmth like the rest of us. So you can't blame them. But it's like, here we go. And of course, The first time it happened, it's only been happening like two or three years, so not a long time. But when it first happened, I thought I was being burgled, And my son, he lives on the same property with, in his own sort of residence, annex, or whatever you want to call it. And so one night I sent him a text. I said, can you hear that? He said, hear what? I said, we're being burgled. Damn, he's stupid. I said, we are. No, go to bed, you silly old coot. All right. I'll leave you a reckoning. But I swore we were being burgled. But no, it was bloody possum. And they'll eat anything, and I mean anything. They'll eat meat, they'll eat scraps, they'll eat walnuts, but I don't think they're their preferred tucker for some reason. But yeah, they're greedy buggers, and like they're, most people would see them and go, oh, you how cute, you know, and they are cute. I'm an animal lover, I think you know that, but I'll tell you what, when they're also destructive too, the buggers. They'll destroy things just for a bit of sport. You know, like tree bark on trees and that. I'm surprised they haven't tackled the walnut tree yet, but that's pretty tough walnut bark, as you'd know. You'd have plenty over there. They amaze me. But when you see the mother with the baby on its back, and that's a nice sight. It's quite funny how the mother just bounces around like the baby's not even on her back. Yeah, it tickles me. It makes me laugh, but it's also cute. One of these days, I'm going to try and get some photos. But of course, whenever you see them, you haven't got your camera, have you? As they say, the things you see when you haven't got a gun. Oh, here's a good song, "Stumbling In" by Susie Q and Chris Norman. I reckon you'll like this.
Our one. Love is a lie, and so we begin. Our love is a flame, burning within. Now and then, firelight will catch us, stumbling in.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, you know these reckless thoughts of mine are following you.
I'm falling.
Stumbling in.
Isn't that a beauty? Anyway, so enough of the animals. If you're not familiar with Patsy, my boat, my beautiful 1940 model Huon Pine wooden ex-lobster boat that I'm doing up very, very slowly. And at the moment, we're doing up the engine. It's got a Pommy engine in it, actually, a Perkins 4107. Beautiful engine, but it's been flooded so many times by various times that Patsy's taken on water over the years. And yeah, it's time to replace it. And I've got another engine, and you know, that's nearly running. That's in a trailer at home that we're getting it. We're doing it up, you know, refurbishing the whole engine, and we're going to have a great time. But then we're going to pull the other engine out of Patsy, which sounds easy if you say it quickly, but it's not. It's far from it. Interestingly, any work you do on a diesel engine is harder than a petrol engine, probably because most of the components, including the engine itself, is a lot heavier than a petrol engine. They've got to be heavier. They've got to be more robust because they have a lot more compression. They run on compression, and they're designed for longevity, not speed, longevity, and also much cheaper to run than a petrol engine. But oh God, they're hard yakka, I tell you, because they're just anyway, so I'll keep you posted on that. And I'm hoping by the end of February, in other words the end of summer, just in time for winter, she should be going, and I'll be able to just cruise around the Hobart, and I'll be able to go away fishing trips, and I'll be able to, you know, sleep on her, go away camping trips and stuff like that. So I can't wait for that. I really, really do look forward to that. 50 years ago today, the Tasman Bridge was knocked down by the Lake Illawarra, the ship, the bulk ore carrier, rendering 12 people dead and a city cut in half. I've talked about it before, but God, where did that 50 years go? I've got to say, I've got to ask the question, where did it go? Anyway, Mackie boy. Now, you'd be familiar with Mac, my dog. He's been my best mate for 15 years. Eventually, the road got a bit too steep for him, and we lost him. He's gone up with old Shep and Rin Tin Tin and Lassie. So, yeah, good on you, Mackie boy. Anyway, I wish you the best new year, and safe and happy and healthy. Now, if you're healthy and you're happy, you've got enough to eat and drink, you know, you're not in danger of being shot or bombed. I reckon things aren't going too bad for you, are they? Really? That's the best way to look at it anyway. So I wish you the best new year, and I look forward to having a yarn with you next week. Until then, have a great time, and we'll go out with this one. I love this one. You should be able to tap your toes to this one too. Golden Brown by Dave Brubeck. Hooray.